very welcome to this week's slightly weird edition of the Group Chat Podcast. Gavin and Zara here. Zara, where are we? We're not in our usual setting.
We are literally on the hoof, on the road. We are taking you with us on our journey through what has been a shocking day in Irish politics. We are outside Leinster House and we have been here all day, Gavin.
Yes, we have been here all day. If you haven't caught the news and you're wondering why this video is on YouTube or what exactly is going on, what's happened today, Wednesday, is that Leo Varadkar has announced that he's quitting as Fine Gael leader and that as soon as they pick a new leader, he will be gone as Taoiseach. This is news which was very unsurprising, very surprising to us. It came completely out of the blue. The first indication, I think, was about 10:30 this morning. Mm. The government press office announced that Leo Varadkar was going to be doing a press conference after cabinet. Now, doing a press conference after cabinet is not unusual at all.
No.
But what is unusual is for Leo Varadkar to announce that he's doing one solo without the leaders of the other coalition parties. So the idea that he was doing something by himself, first of all, began to sort of get the spidey senses tingling. And then when people went to go and inquire what exactly is going on, is there something up his sleeve, or what cabinet item is he here to talk to us about, at that point then all the phones went silent, no one was picking up the phone, and at that point we knew there was a game afoot.
Well, that was the point that Gavin texted our WhatsApp group and went, guys, I think he's standing down. So you had a bit of a sniff of it at that stage.
I literally don't even remember.
Were you
that
just
thing.
Guessing
that's,
that?
That's 8 hours ago and okay. I have no recollection of doing
just
that
for people who are watching, actually, by the way, this won't be on TV tonight if you're listening to this podcast, because we had to abandon the podcast then, which we normally record at 2 o'clock on a Wednesday.
Yeah, because ordinarily we go back to the studios in Ballymount and we just didn't have an opportunity to leave because that news broke a little after 12
we had
o'clock.
To be here on the ground.
We had to be here, so this is why we're doing it slightly off the hoof.
So can I ask you, you get a sort of sense that this is happening and the presser was meant to be at 12, doesn't actually start at 12, which is really annoying. Now, it was 11:45 by the time we had sort of had the announcement more or less unofficially, that we kind of got a sense of it. But then it was 12:15 before he comes out, he steps out of Department of Taoiseach Government Buildings and he says, this is it, I'm finishing up.
What I thought was quite curious about it, first of all, that his first few minutes of the speech, I think the whole thing was 7 minutes.
Yeah.
The first 3 or 4 minutes assumed that everyone in the house already knew that he was going. That it wasn't the sort of thing where you lay out your viewpoint and you say, however, and then you get to, you know, the time is right to hand down. He immediately started listing through his achievements as if we all knew that he was gone already, which is maybe just a sign of how the world works. But I thought what was really fascinating about it is that, first of all, it was the first time ever that I think we've ever noticed him getting choked up doing any delivery.
I completely agree with you. I could not believe how emotional he was because, you know, in many ways, some people probably accused Leo Varadkar of being somewhat robotic over the years. It's been an accusation that's been thrown at the Taoiseach. People have said that, you know, he's not an overly emotional individual, and yet he seemed very genuinely, you could hear it, that it was coming from a place of, you know, genuinely gutted to be making this announcement, but also clearly doing it because he felt it was the right idea.
Yeah, because one of the main criticisms of Leo Varadkar is always that he can be very aloof when it comes to one-on-one, and that although he's a very good communicator when it comes to doing national addresses or when it comes to shutting down the country, for example, he had to do quite a few of those speeches back in 2020, that when it comes to the campaign trail, and, you know, Richard, who's not with us this week, Richard followed him in 2020,
and
it was really telling how aloof and just how he kind of lacked that personal instinct to be able to make small talk with people. There was even one instance in Boston last week when he was on his trip. He was in the Kennedy Presidential Library and he was sitting down in the library with two of the members of the Kennedy family, and he just couldn't make small talk, and he said, where'd you get the furniture from? And Joe Kennedy did not know where the furniture came from.
Dear.
And that was the level of small talk. And after that, then the media were politely shuffled out.
But I suppose,
so it's not what he does.
Yeah, but I suppose we could, if we want to kind of like throw back then to that trip and last week, and you were with him in the United States, maybe his mind was elsewhere, because, you know, people have kind of accused him again on the trip of being a little bit absent-minded, perhaps not being totally engaged. I think one of the newspapers said that, you know, he kind of just went, kind of ticked the box, did the job and came home, that it was, you know, that there wasn't really any added extras or frills. But clearly his mind was on other things, or clearly, you know, he had been thinking about this. It's not like Leo Varadkar got up this morning and made this decision. He has been thinking about this for quite some time.
Hindsight is always 20/20, and this might sound like it's been very wise after the fact, but I came home from that trip last week, only got back on Monday morning, and I came home thinking, there's a guy who's kind of checked out. But I thought he was checked out because we all know the general election is going to be sometime in the next 12 months. He doesn't think he's going to be Taoiseach on the other side. So next time there's a Patrick's Day, some other person will be Taoiseach. And he was checked out because he was almost taking in the experience rather than putting his foot down and doing the work. It would make an awful lot of sense now to know that actually he was checked out because he knew he was going to come home and announce that he was gone. Why was he checked out? We mentioned the last time I was on the podcast 2 weeks ago, because I was missing last week, we discussed how the White House schedule for this week, the year, had been changed. So instead of having the Oval Office and the Shamrock Ceremony on the same day,
it was going to become a two-day affair.
They were going to be 2 days apart. Those two events were now going to be about 48 hours apart. Now, this is St. Patrick's weekend and you're the Taoiseach, and when you've been over there as many times as Leo Varadkar has, you understand that when you knock on a door on St. Patrick's weekend and you're the...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Taoiseach, people open the door to you. So Leo Varadkar could effectively have had his pick of anyone. If there was meetings he wanted to do or business he wanted to line up, people would drop stuff because he's the Taoiseach and it's St. Patrick's Day. But when he had 48 hours between leaving the White House on the Friday after the Oval Office meeting and going back on Sunday, he didn't schedule any events of his own. He had a private reception in Blair House on the Friday night. He had one press conference on the Saturday evening, Saturday afternoon. And then he was a guest at another event on Saturday night that Joe Biden invited him to, but he made no program of his own.
Right.
And I thought that was a fairly low-octane program for a guy who could have had anything he wanted. And in hindsight, it makes an awful lot of sense now that maybe he was taking a little bit of a breather because he knew that as soon as he came home, he was going to have to drop some big news, and that was it.
Okay, so talk us through the speech this morning, you know, or this afternoon, just after 12 o'clock. What were the reasons that he gave? Because he did say at the end of it, I do remember him saying, you know, people will speculate that there's more than this, but that he promised there wasn't more than this. But what exactly were those reasons?
Yeah, that's what's fascinating about the speech. If the other thing I was going to point out was, aside from the emotion, which is unusual, he said, these are the reasons. There's some of them are political and some of them are personal, but these are the reasons. But he didn't very explicitly spell out what either of them were. There was one kind of backdoor hint when he said, you know, what are the political reasons? And he sort of suggested that he now knows that there's another set of elections coming up. He's got friends running in the local and European elections. He wants them to have the best possible chance of winning. And another leader gives them that. So maybe that's an implicit acknowledgement that his own political star is fading, that people are a little bit tired of him, that they want something fresh and new. But he didn't spell it out.
Yeah.
And on the personal side, he did talk about being in cabinet for 14 years. He actually said 13 years, but it's 14. Maybe that's how blasé or how fatigued he's become by the job. He's in cabinet 14 years. He's been Fine Gael leader for 7 years, and he's been Taoiseach or Tánaiste for all of those 7 years. Even though he's only 45, like, it's very attritional. Like, it's a very demanding job. There's no early evenings. There's no free weekends. Like, you're pretty much working, like, 18-hour days pretty much every day of the week unless you're gone off abroad somewhere. And downtime is very limited. So it's natural that you would become a little bit jaded. Like, he didn't say it explicitly, but you remember the Jacinda Ardern thing of not having it in the tank to run again? There was an element of that, I thought.
You think there's a comparison to that?
Yeah, not that he's using the same words, but I think he's 45, he's been in cabinet since he was 31, and he's just a bit fatigued by the whole thing.
Well, here's the thing as well, just to let the listener in, I suppose, excuse me, on what we had kind of been planning to do this week, because, you know, we were planning to go to the studio and we had agreed to speak to Kieran Cannon, who was going to come in and talk to us about Fine Gael TD, that he was not going to run in the next election, and that made 10 Fine Gael TDs who had made the decision not to run for various different reasons. You know, Kieran Cannon had said that really politics had gotten quite nasty as well for people, that there had been a lot of personal attacks online, that, you know, in some ways he felt it just really, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze in terms of, you know, the kind of attacks that they were dealing with. So that was our original plan. Obviously, again, we had to throw that out the window. Little did we know that his boss, the party leader, the prime minister, would be the next one to say, you know what, actually, I'm not. Well, will he run actually the next? Because he's staying on as a TD actually. Yeah, so will he run?
He's staying on as a TD for now. And actually, just as we're recording this, he has in the last few minutes been over in government buildings attending a photo call for the launch of Daffodil Day for the Irish Cancer Society. And some people went along and basically shouted, does that mean you're not running next time around? And he says he hasn't decided. Which I think is the first time that he's ever introduced any element of doubt. Because up until now, it's always, of course I'm running. I'm the party leader. I'm the Taoiseach. Of course I'll run. And now he says he hasn't decided.
Can we talk about that for a second? Yeah. Okay, so you're making the decision to step out. Okay, obviously being the party leader, being the Taoiseach, probably much bigger responsibility than a backbench TD.
Indeed.
But that isn't a step back from politics entirely then. That's a completely different situation.
Now, one thing which people may know is that Leo Varadkar has moved since the last time he ran for election, that he's moved in. His partner's bought a house in a different constituency now. People will have seen when he was voting in the referendums a couple of weeks ago, he was voting alongside Mary Ciri Kearney, who's in the constituency that he now lives in. So he was going to be in one of those weird situations next time around where he would be aspiring to run in a constituency that he doesn't live in anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, that's perfectly allowed. There's nothing necessarily unusual. There's other TDs who have that situation as well. But it might have complicated his own plans a little bit, that if this is now where he's living and he wants to make where he's living with his partner his home, and that's where he is, by naturally you sort of feel a little bit disconnected from the territory that you wanted to serve. And I wonder if he isn't going to be in cabinet and thinks that his job is going to be a constituency TD, I wonder will his heart really be in it if it means only running to be a backbencher for a constituency that you're no longer living in. So I, to be honest, now that he has himself introduced doubt into whether he's running, I suspect he's probably not running, and maybe that in itself is the reason why he decided to pull the trigger today.
Okay, that might be the next announcement that we'll watch out for.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I was on a completely different story this morning.
Yeah, what were you going to be doing with
it? It was something about mother and baby homes, actually. Okay. So it was.
I was supposed to be doing a story about the assistant's death report and how Michael Healy-Rae was going to be launching two reports.
Which are both very important stories that you know, probably didn't get the coverage they deserved today, honest, because of what happened. So I was on the way to somewhere completely different and sort of got the call at 12 o'clock to detour this direction to Leinster House. My role today was to try and get that reaction from those opposition TDs. Within a couple of minutes, they were bursting out the front door of Leinster House, dying to tell us that this government is over. We want a general election.
Can I stop you for one question? Was there any nuance in that where did they do the precursor thing first of all, this is Leo Varadkar's big day, we want to wish him well, or were they straight out the gap with election now?
I wouldn't have said anyone said it was his big day, if I'm honest. I think there was definitely, on a personal note, I think there is definitely, you know, good relations between people. I think it's quite polite. I think, you know, there's definitely we wish you the best of luck in whatever you do next on a personal note. But professionally, it's interesting. Like, it's quite spicy on a professional note. I actually think potentially the sort of exchanges on the professional political floor between the opposition parties and the current government are quite spicy at times.
I thought it was really remarkable about what happened in the Dáil Chamber when he went in, and obviously everyone went into the Dáil Chamber, or they were going in with different things they wanted to raise, whether it be mother and baby homes or housing or the fallout from the referendums or anything else. And the one person who precluded or preluded their speech with a remark to say it's a big day for you and personally I wish you well was Holly Cairns, and the Taoiseach responded in kind. And then
that
became the spiciest conversation.
Really spicy. Yeah, I actually watched that. It started off really friendly and really polite.
Yeah.
And then they
didn't end that way. Yeah.
No, he didn't hold back, taking a couple of swipes at her today, and she was well able to fight back. So yeah, I always say that our Oireachtas TV is just it's great live viewing.
But if everyone's only missing Jerry Springer, Oireachtas TV.
If you're ever on home on a sick day, I'm telling you, Oireachtas TV is where it's at. But what I was going to say was the opposition parties come out, right? And what was very interesting actually is I've been calling the Sinn Féin press office being like, can we please get somebody out for the news at 12:30? You know, we're eager to get your reaction, obviously the largest opposition party. And Sinn Féin took a beat. They were taking a beat for a minute. They were having a meeting. They were, you know, considering what they were going to do next, to the point where they didn't have someone available to us before the programme ended at 1 o'clock. So they were having a more considered conversation, I would say, potentially. Now, at that point, you know, arguably the news had been out since, 11:45? So, you know, we're on it. It's sort of an hour has gone by. But like I say, within moments, you had the likes of Anna Bacik, the Labour leader, coming out saying we need an election. Pádraig Tobin, who obviously had recent success in the referendum, he was like, we want an election. Danny Healy-Rae came out and said that he wasn't calling for an election, but that he wasn't afraid of one if it came, and he'd be ready to do it.
It's like when somebody says, will you have a cup of tea? But he won't turn it away.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I mean, like, I think, you know, it's interesting, this sort of immediate call, they're saying the government is over. Naturally, they're going to do that, Gavin, but obviously, logistically.
Yeah.
very unlikely we're going to have an election in the immediate future.
No, and when you think very strategically, whoever becomes the Taoiseach, whether it's whether they are chosen by unanimity this weekend or whether it's 2 weeks before they're chosen and whether they get in then, anyone who becomes Taoiseach wants to be Taoiseach for as long as possible. Now, do you think that that's going to be better achieved by calling an election early and chancing your arm and maybe being defeated by the electorate within a matter of months? Or do you think your best case is to wait for as long as you can, knowing that you don't have to call an election until next February? You don't have to go to the country until next March. So there is every possibility of that new Taoiseach deciding that they want to go in for the long haul and delaying an election. There is one other point which a lot of people might not have necessarily considered, but when governments collapse, it's either because coalitions fall apart or because a Taoiseach has decided that there is personal strain on them and they need to go. The nature of a coalition like this is that they've all predetermined that Fianna Fáil gets to be Taoiseach for the first half, Fine Gael gets to be Taoiseach for the second half, and they can choose whatever they want. As long as they choose their leader, that person becomes Taoiseach. So, you know, we've done podcasts in the last year or so about the Tories changing leader and how can it be okay that you had Boris and then you had Liz Truss and now you've got Rishi Sunak. But that's the nature of parliamentary systems. You elect your TD, your TD elect your Taoiseach, and if they're all pre-agreed that the Fine Gael leader gets the top job, then that's how it's going
to
be.
Okay, we have to talk about the runners and riders and also how the, you know, how this will play out, because, you know, there is that possibility that they're about them having perhaps a leadership contest. And, you know, you could argue that a leadership contest brings with it a lot of publicity, you know, a lot of media time, a lot of airtime, a lot of coverage. You know, you could argue that that's no harm as you run up to, as say, a local and European election. But also, if you're internally fighting with one another, optically, that's not great.
And I know that as we record this evening, although we're recording this on the Wednesday, nobody's going to announce today because today is Leo's day. Would say. But that is an active discussion that's happening within Fine Gael right now. Is it better to have that debate and to reinvigorate and, like you said, basically get to hog the airwaves for 2 weeks? People might remember back in 2017 when Enda Kenny stood down and it was Leo Varadkar versus Simon Coveney. It was basically wall-to-wall for 2 weeks because it was an election within a party with a winner got to be Taoiseach. So it's a really unique thing and a really big deal. And you get to monopolise the airwaves. Then you get the party Ardesh in a couple of weeks' time, which comes with its own media coverage. And then there's always a certain level of new leader bounce. So there is an aspect of that being a really good thing. But like you say, not alone is there a general election, at least within the next 12 months, there are local and European elections within the next 3 months. They're 77 days away at the time, or 79 days at the time that we record
this. It's a busy year on the political front.
So can they afford to spend 2 or 3 weeks staring at each other and shouting at each other and tearing each other down before the new leader then has to inherit the ruins after that row and then move on? I think that there is probably something to be said, if I were them,
for reaching consensus.
I think there's something to be said for reaching consensus. But then that raises the question of, well, who's
it going to be?
Because there may not be one.
Now, let's get into the brass tacks of this. You could argue that a lot of people really like Pascal Donoghue. He's very well got. He's quite well liked. Yeah. You know, he would definitely be on the list. You could also say that, you know, Simon Harris is hungry. Helen McEntee is hungry. They're ambitious. You could look at Heather Humphreys and say, you know, she could be a potential. Would Simon Coveney go back around the houses again?
You've just named every other Fine Gael member of
cabinet. Yeah, I know, exactly.
Which is why the consensus candidate question is a very difficult one, because can they all agree on one? And also, if you're being very Machiavellian, if you imagine that Fine Gael are probably going to be out of power after the next election anyway, do you want to be the leader that leads them out of government? Or do you want to let someone else do it now, possibly have an election next spring, then they lose and that person stands down after a year, and then you get to inherit a party at a low ebb and get to build it back up? There's a strategic thing there. Yeah. You know? So you might let somebody else take the fall if you think a fall is coming, you know?
Right.
But of those five candidates, there are still question marks around whether Pascal Donoghue wants to run for the Dáil again. As recently as yesterday, he said he was, but everyone says they are until they're not.
And what about this big job in Europe that people talk about?
The big job in Washington has just gone because the IMF job has now been refilled. The Georgian lady who already holds it is going to get another term. So that one is off the table. Okay. But the very fact that Pascal Donoghue was holding that out might mean, well, you know, maybe I don't see my future in Dáil Éireann anymore. Likewise, Simon Coveney. He has been in the Dáil for over 20 years. He's got his full pension. He's been in cabinet for 14 years. He has already tried for the leadership 7 years ago and didn't get it then. He's bought a new house outside of the constituency where he currently lives.
Okay.
So again, he has the Leo Varadkar issue of, do you want to run in another constituency when you don't live there anymore?
I think, in fairness to Simon Coveney, though, like, you know, and same as Micheál Martin, you know, they're kind of stalwarts of politics in that, in Cork in general. So I think it's probably less of a challenge.
But Simon Coveney, if Leo Varadkar is leaving because he's a bit jaded, Simon Coveney has been in cabinet for every single one of those days, and he's been in the Dáil for longer. So is he a more refreshing candidate, or can he reinvigorate the party? Can he be the fresh face? So that leaves you with the other three: Heather Humphreys, Helen McEntee, and Simon Harris. I think everyone knows Simon Harris wants the job, but does he want the job now, or would he rather be the sort of person that waits if they think they're going to lose and they're going to be strategic about it? I wouldn't at all be surprised if Heather Humphreys was something of a consensus candidate.
Right.
But I think maybe only on the premise that they already think the party is destined for a bad day out whenever the next general election comes. But I've heard more than one person today speculate, well, if Sinn Féin think that they're going to be the fresh new broom that has the first female Taoiseach, why don't we have the first female Taoiseach? And also, by the way, why don't we make it a Protestant woman from a border county? And then it represents a lot of things, that, and Fine Gael will be the party of novelty, of new. So I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Okay, we're nearly out of time here. I want to say thank you to Conan and Alan, who are working away here behind the cameras for us outside Lent House. We've never done a podcast like this on the hoof.
Before we go, by the way, we should forget, we are getting wrapped up. The reason why Richard's not here.
Oh, yes. Richard has ran the Rome Marathon.
Richard has completed the Rome
in
Marathon
in under 5 hours and raised over 11,000 euro for women's
considering
aid.
He was running with an injury and had to stop close to the end because he wasn't sure if he was going to make it.
I actually felt so proud of him the other
day.
We're so proud of you, Richard, if you're
listening.
Forza,
Ricardo.
Really quickly before we go, I know Conan's running us out of here now.
Really,
but Colette Fitzpatrick is here with us today as well, and she asked you a question on air there at 5:30, and this is our final question. And she said, Gavin, you know, Leo Varadkar said he has no plans at the moment politically for the future or whatever, or privately or personally. Do you think that this is the real reason why he's stepping down, or do you think there might be more? Do you think there's more to come in terms of our understanding of what happened here today?
I think if you go on national TV and you say aloud that there is no other reason and that you don't have something lined up, and then it turns out you do, not alone do you sink like a stone, you drag everyone else down with you, because people will wonder, can anyone be trusted within that party? So I'd be amazed if there is actually something in the long grass. I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest, if there's a touch of being jaded. I mean, I've no doubt he's probably been approached about other things, but that's not to say that he's taking them on. But I would say that it's a really attritional job. And you know, I see them up close. I work around them a lot. I think my hours are long. Their hours are far, far longer. It's a very, very attritional thing. You're never off. You're very rarely at home. And although the spec is really good, the pay is brilliant, the working conditions are tough. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's just decided he's 45, he's climbed every mountain, go do something else.
We'll watch this space. Okay.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us on this special group chat. We will hopefully be back in studio as a trio again next week. Thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.